Now we're going to move into the theme of AI. Okay, so we're talking about the role of artificial intelligence and how it can reduce wasted time. So you mentioned previously, Sam, about having a node to give you feedback as to, you know, how people are utilizing it and who's utilizing certain aspects of the tools that you might be developing for practice. How do you think the future of automation will be within your workforce? How do you think AI will be integrated with automation within your workforce?
Well, I mean, if we're talking about AI, so we have already at HMM, we have a comprehensive digital design wiki, right, which is our internal Wikipedia for anything, any question that you might have. And we've actually recently introduced a kind of ChatGPT equivalent into our wiki that allows people to do natural language searches, right? So you can go in there and you can go, I need to automate creating sheets, right? And it will scan through the database that is our wiki, and it will pull out, hopefully, if it's working correctly, it will pull out the article that relates to Dynamo automation. Here's how you can use the script that we've got that does, you know, duplicating sheets or so, you know, whatever it might be. You can type it in there. It's got a pretty good hit rate from the experience that we've kind of had back from the end users there. When it comes to, you know, kind of AI with automation, I mean, it might be a little bit cheeky for me to say, but I have already been using ChatGPT to create scripts that I use, you know, day to day. It's particularly good for things like PowerShell and getting the bare bones of Python put together, so that, you know, you're not spending as much time kind of searching out all of these different kind of terms and things that you might need, or, you know, different utilities within those scripts. So that all.
Do you think that is actually going to make you lazier, or do you think it is optimizing your time?
It is funny, actually, when we were talking about the Ferrari earlier, I kind of had this other analogy that popped into my head about, you know, automation compared to cars, right? And if you think of a manual transmission car as your baseline Revit, once upon a time, some clever clogs came up with, you know, an automatic transition, and suddenly you didn't need to change gears manually. You didn't need to hold down the clutch pedal. All of this stuff started working a lot smoother and things, right? But actually, it then becomes a lot easier for a child to crash a car, because if they get in it, all they got to do is push the pedal and off they go, right? And then you kind of step up again to self-driving cars, right? Absolutely incredible innovation, where you've got, you know, less onus on the driver for going down the motorway, right? Because the car is going to keep you in lane. It's going to kind of detect these things. However, you're always going to have that case where you've got some Muppet who sits in the back of the car reading their book while the car is doing its self-driving thing. So when we're talking about kind of laziness in AI, you're absolutely right. You know, that there are scenarios where, well, we're already seeing it, right? Wholesale across not just architecture, not just AEC, but people use ChatGPT to fill out documents, you know, job applications, you know, more important documentation that they're sending around. And because there is no human factor in the proofreading, and there's no, you know, that person has not gone out to seek the knowledge and learn that knowledge themselves, erroneous information is starting to get thrown around, right? Now, if you think back to what we were talking about with automation and, you know, the wrong person using the automation, or the wrong person kind of interacting with something that causes automation, and, you know, that can then lead to these massive problems. The same thing, I would argue, could be said if I go into ChatGPT and I'm creating scripts, you know, I'm basically going, hey, ChatGPT, can you, you know, give me a Python script that's going to do X, Y, Z, and I don't understand it before I chuck it into Dynamo, or I chuck it into a, you know, some kind of custom macro, and start letting people run wild with that, I could quite quickly, you know, cause a lot of damage. So I do think, you know, AI does have a place and will certainly continue to have a place within automation. But I do think it has the same caveats that automation currently does anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. I think listening to that, the analogy of a car came to mind as well, where we have a manual going to automatic, you know, we're automating some of the processes. And I think it's a really good analogy to kind of take it away from the industry that we're working in, just so that we can kind of appreciate really what's happening. And for me, I think with ChatGPT and with AI, you know, within automation, I think it gives us a different angle on things that we might not have had previously. So, you know, you might ask it a question and it comes up with something that you might not have thought of. So in terms of the laziness kind of question, sometimes it actually makes you want to go in and search more because you're thirsty to know more from different angles, you know? So I think that's my personal experience with AI at the moment anyway. I think it's really good to look to see how we can make things a bit more sustainable. So if it means that it's going to free you up some while you're doing some scripts, you know, instead of spending an hour doing something, you might spend 10 minutes. And I think that to me is time not wasted.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I mean, I think there's, you know, again, calling back to kind of topics that we've already discussed during the podcast is it takes the right kind of person, right? So you know, of the examples of things going badly with people using ChatGPT to, you know, fill out documents and stuff, it's the person that was trying to be lazy by using it that has caused the problem, right? Whereas I'm trying to, well, I say I, you know, people with, let's say, a higher technological skill set, right? If we're kind of keeping it outside of just AEC, people who have a broader kind of idea of what it is they're asking and they're using it to feed into the process that they're doing rather than trying to circumvent it. You know, I think that is fine. And I think, like you say, you know, if it's going to save me a couple of hours in trying to, you know, Google a bunch of different kind of Python definitions or whatever because I'm not familiar with them, and actually I can just drop it into ChatGPT and it's like, great, you know, effectively that's just done the Googling for me, right? Like, that's just a more efficient way of kind of data mining in my opinion, versus, you know, like we say, someone who doesn't have an appreciation of you know, we have had cases where people have used ChatGPT to ask for, you know, solutions to Revit workflows. They have then gone ahead and done what the chatbot has said, but actually the let's say the pool of information relating to Revit specifically is comparatively tiny compared to, you know, any other question that you might ask ChatGPT, and it pulls from you know, forums where people are kind of suggesting things that they think is the best way of doing it and so on. So you end up with this really kind of sort of sketchy response that people, you know, because they assume it's infallible because they don't have the technological know-how to kind of appreciate that, you know, it's just a language learning model. It's just pulling from all these different sources. And then they go on to cause a bunch of problems in the model, you know, and then we're kind of back to time wastage instead of automation. So,
yeah absolutely. I can see Mladen understanding that one, thinking, oh, I remember that going on. I remember that happening. Any experiences there, Mladen? Yeah,
that was very well said. It's definitely down to the person who's seeking the information.
So, Joe, what would you say is the importance of monitoring and analyzing data to identify and address any bottlenecks that you might have or inefficiencies within an automated process?
Yeah, I think it's of utmost importance, really. And again, it kind of comes back to the question of wasting time. You know, when we were working together and as we've then branched off into various areas of work, we have continued to monitor, let's use Revit models as an example. And regardless of whether that is inbuilt tools within Revit or add-ons or using Dynamo scripts to highlight and monitor, as you said, bottlenecks or problems. This could be down to, like, for example, clashes as a basic form. It's important for any workforce to continue that process throughout the life of through design, or maybe not concept, but going through technical design, especially to highlight those clashes, those issues continuously in order to ensure that the model coming out the other end to construction is in its best state possible. So monitorization is needed at every point past a certain point of design.
Do you think, though, that monitorization is infringing on the person's kind of freedom to utilize the tools? Or
for sure.
Do you think that. Oh, for sure. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I mean,
we disagree with that.
No, I think, I mean, it does. It depends on the person. I think a lot of people are going, oh, just let me design. Let me be free with what I want to do. But there is obviously an aspect of like Sam said, it's technical know-how. If you are designing in the wrong way, maybe if you're designing in 2D and don't have that concept of that 3D element, it is a responsibility of a BIM coordinator or BIM manager to highlight that and monitor that process and going, by the way, this looks great in 2D, but it's clashing with three other beams, you know, or there's a wall going through a window here. You can't see it because it's on high level. So it's that type of thing that I would say it's not necessarily preventing them from designing, but it's allowing them to pick up these problems early on instead of it becoming a bigger problem later on.
I'll go back to my car analogy and just say, even if you don't have an understanding of what's going on under the hood, make sure you have an appreciation of what's going on under the hood.
Okay, so Joe, the future of AI, what do you think?
I mean, I think the future of AI will play an increasingly important role in everyone's day-to-day lives. But obviously, as we're talking about the AEC industry, there is an increasing amount of tools from AI that are coming out specifically for the AEC industry. I mean, using the ones that people know about, like ChatGPT and Google Bard, they have different functionalities, different strengths if you compare them both. But we've talked about how we can use them in today's business. Sam obviously touched on that in terms of he's created script prompts that allow them to look at kind of wiki dictionary and pull up kind of FAQs for their workforce. But then there's also automation, which is going to be allowing people to go down the lines of design and taking that aspect of the creative thinking from people. Now, yeah, you can think of obviously drawing from paper to using 2D CAD to using Revit 3D. You're taking, I guess for some people might say, you're taking the design aspect out of architecture and letting the computer almost model it for you. But then going forward, I think the AI will play an increasingly important role in allowing people to develop the design quicker, more efficiently, and also within the environment that they're trying to build. So this could be obviously you're going to build or design a building differently in, let's say, a wet country like, let's say, the UK to, let's say, the Sahara Desert. And so you're going to have AI which analyzes those different environments and helps you design based on those locations and based on the needs of what the building serves or what the project serves. So, I mean, it's endless.
Yeah, it is endless, but the human factor in this is also crucial, right? Not just for the development, but also from looking at it from a different angle.
Yes, yeah, I still believe there will be a human aspect to it. That human aspect, there will be certain jobs in the AEC industry which will the human aspect will be removed from, I believe. Again, whether you think that's a good thing or a bad thing, one thing that AI does struggle with at the moment is creative thinking. And that's where humans obviously have a much stronger advantage over AI. But as we've seen the progression of AI, those lines could start to become blurred. But it's about controlling and working smart, not hard. So I think over the next 10 years will be very interesting for the AEC industry as this is the tool set of AI tool sets.
The way we search, the way we design, the way we go about our daily, just very quick scroll on our phones and everything like that, it's all going to change within the next 10 years. And that was really a great point there. Thank you very much, Joe. Okay, so here's a question for the three of you. So I'm expecting maybe slightly different responses from each one of you. So let's say a new business comes and approaches you and they would like to implement some automation within their practice. What would your key advice be for that business when going to automate? if I start off with Sam, you've got the biggest smile just then, Sam. Like, one thing.
For a new business.
For a new business.
Who haven't been doing any work up to this point.
Yeah, absolutely. They've just been doing manual.
Well, I mean, to summarize it in a single point is probably quite tricky. Understand the end goal of your automation.
Very good. Very good. Very high level thinking. I like that. So the end goal, and then you can work back and see what you might need to do to automate.
I think it's again, if I kind of say less technically, people with less technical aptitude tend to jump at the idea of automation or AI. You know, it's kind of like wouldn't it be great if we could automate everything? And wouldn't we? But actually, if you don't know kind of what it is that you're trying to end up, you know, what is the ideal that you're trying to achieve, you're just going to burn hours trying to achieve something. You know, like I have a recent case for myself, something to do with clash reports. And effectively, you know, we had an existing definition that wasn't working perfectly. And effectively what I heard at the end of the line was, this isn't working properly, we just need it to work. So I kind of then started looking at it, and I was kind of automate, you know, I can pull this data out, I can do this with it, I can do that. And then it kind of came back to them. I said, well, you know, what is this, you know, what are we doing with this at the end? You know, what is it that you need out of this? Oh, I don't know, an Excel document or something. And it's like, well, hang on, do you understand what, you know, do you have like a template in mind? Does it have charts in it? Does it have, you know, is it a visual thing? Is it not? Because I need to understand that, you know, I need to know what this looks like at the end. Otherwise, I'm just, you know, I've got all the data. I'm just sort of juggling it around for no particular reason. So, yeah, I guess to summarize that back into that one point is understand the end goal of your automation.
Absolutely. I love that. I think that's really key in everything that we do, is always looking at the end goal and trying to work towards it. Otherwise, you'd be creating all of it. Like you say, you've got all of that data that you're juggling around, but really, what outcome do you want at the end of the day for that? So that's a really good point. Thank you, Sam. Mladen, what do you think, what your one piece of advice would be for, you know, a company, a new organization, maybe listening into this podcast?
I would say constant curiosity. And that's because new tools and new methods of working are being developed every single minute nowadays. So if people want to really push forward automation and new processes, they need to be curious every single day and just keep an eye on what's available, how things evolve, giving feedback to the developers and the tools they're using, because that's key. Any tool can fit into the new release of those tools. So yeah, I would say constant curiosity is a key element here.
I like that. Constant curiosity, getting that feedback from the users, from the clients, from the whole team, in order to proceed. So Sam has come up with the kind of overarching goal. Look at, see what's the end. Yeah, Mladen, you've come up with the feedback and making sure that you're curious enough to get the best out of automation. Now I'm intrigued what Joe will reveal as his point as we come to the end of this podcast.
Right, let's bring it home. Now, I think if these are really good points, and both Sam and Mladen's are so valid, and I would echo exactly what they say. To add to what they have said, I'm going to quote Denzel Washington, one of my favorite quotes of all time, and I think it can be applied to every aspect of life, including business. And he says, this was back in 2017, he said, "Without commitment, you'll never start. But more importantly, without consistency, you'll never finish." And so if I was to give any advice to a company that was just starting this, I'd say, do you have commitment in going down this rabbit hole in order to develop? Because you don't just develop one bit of automation. Once you start, you develop and you continue developing. But unless you have the consistency to to see that light at the end of the tunnel, like Sam said, that kind of end goal of the project, or let's say multiple projects, let's say a 5 to 10 year goal, if you don't have consistency, you won't get there. So the company itself has to have that long-term mindset to implement commitment and consistency. So that's the one bit of advice that I would give to a company just about to kind of launch into automation.
That is really super. I think consistency, the commitment, I really like every single piece of advice there. So I'm ending this podcast on a high by three different, you know, pointers that whoever's listening to this podcast right now is thinking, yes, that's me. That's, you know, I can have that consistency. I can have that commitment. I know what my goal is, and I know that I need feedback to get better at what I do. That's the perfect business strategy, I think. Well, if you're listening to this and you've got this now as your new business plan, thank you very much for listening to the podcast. And I'd like to thank each one of you. Joe, thank you very much for getting up early. Mladen, thank you very much for staying up late. Sam, thank you very much for joining and for all of your points today. It's been a really, really fun podcast for me. And it's been great to see the three of you together once again.